you so much. What a great morning already, huh? I love it, and thank you so much for your invocation reading. It was beautiful, and your reading was exactly what I'm talking about, so that was really awesome. So I'm actually talking today about living our spirituality. I'm talking about living a spiritual life and walking a spiritual path, because you might have noticed living a spiritual life and walking a spiritual path does not happen by chance. It takes focus, and it takes effort, and it takes intention, and it takes focus, and it takes commitment. It takes all of those things to be living a spiritual life. And so what does that mean to you to live a spiritual life? What does that mean to you to live a spiritual life? Anybody? Commitments? What'd you say? To be here? Here on Sunday? What else does it mean? A practice, consciousness, to be kind, to listen to your inner voice, stop judging, finding beauty, awareness, being of service, connection. Yeah, all of those things, absolutely. And so to me, spiritual living or living a spiritual life means seeing the divine everywhere, seeing that presence in all people and in all circumstances and in all things. It means listening to that call to the voice of our own soul, of our own spirit. It means listening to that higher calling, a higher calling than our ego, the voice of the ego, that voice that is about fears and demands and wants status and recognition and to be the best and to be on top, that voice of the ego. It means acting from love and acting as a presence of good in this world. It means acting from love and from connection and from oneness. It means being a voice for love, being a voice for good, and being an avenue for that good to express in the world. It means awakening to our greatest self. That's what it means to me to be living a spiritual life and walking a spiritual path. And Billy Corgan, who is a musician, songwriter, and poet, says, "I think a spiritual journey is not so much a journey of discovery, it's a journey of recovery. It's a journey of uncovering our own inner nature. It's already here." And John White says, "In essence, spirituality is simply living with the intention to realize God in every circumstance of your being, your thoughts, your emotions, words, deeds, relations, aspirations. In short, the totality of your life." And he goes on to say, "That attitude, that stance is the only thing that can truly create a better world." And so that's what we're doing here. That's what we're doing here at Living Beyond Limits, is we are living that spiritual life with intention and with focus and with commitment and with practice. And so we are living this spiritual life, walking this spiritual path on this spiritual journey, because we have awakened to something inside of us. We have already awakened to this call of our soul, this call of our spirit, this call to feel and to sense and to know that one infinite presence. We have a need within us that we've awoken to feel and experience our spirituality and to touch our spirit. We have a need for spiritual experience, and we want to live in alignment with our soul. Because I know every single one of us in this room has had times when we have not been living in alignment with our soul, and we know what it feels like, and it doesn't feel very good. We want to feel that connection with everyone and everything and the whole of things. So Rachel Naomi Remen says, "When we know ourselves to be connected to all others, acting compassionately is the natural thing to do. As we wake up to that presence within us and that connection to the all, acting compassionately and kind and loving and generous and caring is the natural byproduct. It's just how we act naturally once we do that awakening." We are walking this spiritual path because the glimpses that we've had of being in contact with our own soul and hearing our own spirit are the most satisfying experiences of our lives. That feels the best to be there. And so the title of my talk today, as Carol said, is Stoking the Flame. And I'm talking about stoking the flames of our spirit, stoking the flames of our spirituality, and living a life of spirituality, living a life that is deeply fulfilling, because it takes stoking those flames to live that life that's deeply fulfilling and to be a beneficial presence in the world. And so there are a couple reasons why we may not always live our spirituality, or may not live from our spirit, or may not be realizing that we're walking that path and being that presence. And the reason that we don't always live that way is because maybe we don't know how to live that way all the time. Or maybe we're not exactly sure what that looks like to live our spirituality. Maybe we don't even know what that means to live our spirituality. And the second reason that we may not be living our spirituality is because we don't take time to nurture our spirit, to be in connection with our own soul. Because the truth, it takes intentionality. It takes intentionally nurturing our spirituality and our soul in order to live that way, in order to experience our beingness, in order to give way to the divine, in order to live in alignment with our own soul. It takes practice. And so I am teaching practical mysticism right now, and some of the things that we've been talking about in class is ways to stoke that flame, ways to nurture our own feeling and connection with our soul and to experience that. And so some of those things we've been doing, and some of those things that you know, which are about reading the writings of people that have awakened. And for those of you who are reading the Joel Goldsmith book, he has awakened. And so reading the writings of people that have awakened, or people that have had a realization of the omnipresence of spirit, or a realization of oneness, or a realization of their own I am-ness, stokes that flame inside of us that already knows. It's like putting rekindling that fire so that it can burn brightly and get bigger when we read that stuff that rings true to us and inspires us. It allows that flame to become bigger in us so that it becomes brighter and lights our pathway before it. Then that becomes the thing that influences our choices and our actions. It becomes the thing that lights that way in our choices and our actions and guides our footsteps. And then the second thing that we've been doing and talking about is meditating. And for anybody that meditates, you know that when you sit in meditation, one of those things that happens is you gain a sense of expansiveness, an expansiveness of who you are beyond that ego personality, beyond that limited self, beyond your egoic self, an expansiveness of being and that realization of oneness. That's what comes. So sometimes we do the reading and then we sit in meditation and those two things touch each other because it's the same truth, but it's two ways at arriving at that same truth. And then when we spent time in meditation, we read those words, we go, ah, yes, that is what it has been saying inside of me, but I didn't have words for it. And when I read these words of this enlightened person, it gives words to my experience. And so in class, another way, and one of the very favorite ways the students have been talking about as a way to experience our own soul, to contact our soul, is to spend time in the silence. That means they are turning off their TVs when they're home and turning off the radio when they're driving in the car so that they can have an experience of just being. It means spending time out in your backyard. It means taking time to smell the roses, just to be with yourself. Because it's only when we take that time out that we can hear what our soul has to say. It's only when we take time in that silence that we touch our essential nature and feel what that's like and hear that voice. It takes stepping out of the noise and stepping out of the constant bombardment that we always have from all the electronics in our lives and the media and the people and the things to do. We're bombarded constantly. It takes stepping out of that and getting quiet in here and getting quiet in here to be able to feel and to sense and to hear and to know. That's how we awaken to ourself, to that essential nature. And so I read a story that I'd like to share with you from Alan Cohen. He says, I know of a woman who gave her baby up for a private adoption. As the little girl grew over the first few years of her life, she seemed quite unhappy and cried a great deal. Her adoptive parents could not understand why she was so upset and tried various tests and techniques to assess what was disturbing her, all to no avail. Finally, they decided to contact the girl's birth mother and asked her if she would like to speak to her daughter. The girl's birth mother was happy to have the opportunity to connect with her child, now 3 years old. When the time for this momentous call came, the mother and the child met on the telephone for the first time. As soon as the child heard her mother say hello, she lit up and exclaimed, "That's the voice I've been waiting to hear." Likewise, we have all been separated from our original source, and we long to connect with it. We walk the world feeling disconnected, alone, and abandoned, not exactly sure who or what we are missing, yet feeling there must be more to this life than the one we've been living. We try to regain our sense of connection by reaching for all kinds of things and people in the outer world. Yet that fruitless search leaves us feeling only more lost and dissatisfied. Eventually, we consider that the answer to our loneliness may not lie outside of us, but within us. When we make that connection, we are missing our connection with ourselves and our spiritual source. When we make that connection, we recognize that's the voice I've been waiting to hear. It's our own voice, or the voice of our higher or our divine self, that gives us comfort that the outer journey fails to provide. We've been longing to hear that voice, the voice of our own spirit, the voice of our own divinity, the voice of our soul, that longs to lead us and to guide us into the most fulfilling life for us and the most fulfilling life of making a difference in this world. Because when we awaken to our soul, when we awaken to that essential self, we no longer need anything outside of us to tell us how to be in this world. We no longer need dogma and rules. We become inner motivated by our spirit, so that leads us in our choices and decisions. When we are regularly in contact with our spirit, then it's easy to love. It's easy to be compassionate. It's easy to feel like we are equals with everyone else. It's easy to want the best for everyone out there, just like we want the best for ourselves. When we live in contact, regular contact with our own spirit, then we are naturally living our spirituality. And so one of my favorite books is Conversations with God by Neil Donald Walsh. And one of the things that I love the most in his first book is he talks about the Ten Commandments. And he says this. He says, "You will know that you have found the path to God when you see these signs. For I promise there is no one who truly seeks God. For I promise that no one who truly seeks God shall any longer do these things. It would be impossible to continue with such behaviors. These are your freedoms, not your restrictions. These are my commitments, not my commandments. And the word of God was not a commandment, but a covenant. These, then, are the 10 commitments. You shall know that you have taken the path to God, and you shall know that you have found God, for there will be signs, these indications, these changes in you. One, and I'm just going to share the first three with you. One, you shall love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. And there shall be no other God set before me. No longer will you worship human love, success, money, or power, nor any symbol thereof. You will set aside these things as a child sets aside toys, not because they are unworthy, but because you have outgrown them. And you shall know that you have taken the path to God because, two, you shall not use the name of God in vain, nor will you call upon me for frivolous things. You will understand the power of words and of thoughts, and you would not think of invoking the name of God in an ungodly manner. You shall not use my name in vain, because you cannot, for my name, the great I Am, is never used in vain. That is without result, nor can it ever be. And when you have found God, you shall know this. And I shall give you these other signs as well. Three, you shall remember to keep a day for me, and you shall call it holy. This, so that you do not stay long in your illusion, but cause yourself to remember who and what you are. And then you shall call every day Sabbath and every moment holy. When we commune with our own divinity, when we commune with that presence that lives and moves and has its being within us, then we see through the eyes of that which is holy. Then we witness life through the heart of the divine and our own divinity. And then we become that beneficial presence in the world. Then we are always doing the good. Ernest Holmes, the founder of this philosophy, says, "The great mystics like Jesus have taught that as we enter into the one enters into us and becomes us and is us. As we enter into that presence in meditation, in reading, in silence, it then has space to come forward and express within our hearts and within our minds. But we have to create the space. We have to make the room for that to happen." And then the last thing that we've been talking about in class, as a way to experience our own soul and to touch our own spirit, to nurture our soul, is through the act of savoring. What a lovely thing, savoring. And so I have to tell a story this week that Lark told us, that she has a bougainvillea in her backyard, and it is full right now, full of flowers. And when she walks by, sometimes it's full of birds. She says it sounds like they're having a cocktail party. There's all these birds chirping. And she says, you know, it's different walking by that bougainvillea and going, "Oh, birds." It's different than stopping and savoring and being present with and appreciating and drinking in what is before her. Savoring the birds and the life and the flowers and what's going on right there. Because savoring means to be present with, fully present with. Savoring is to drink something in, to be reveling in it. It means appreciating and relishing and feeling what is before us. Savoring is the language of the soul. Savoring is the language of the soul. Think about it. Every time you really savor something, how filled up you feel, how full you feel, what gratitude you feel, how grateful for life you are every time you stop and savor what's going on in your life. Every time we stop and savor, we make space for our soul to be present. Every time we stop and savor, we witness magnificence itself. We witness beauty. We witness the majestic. We witness the lavish outpicturing of divinity every time we savor. Every time we stop and savor, we nurture our own soul. And so, then, as we take time in the silence, as we take time to savor, as we take time to meditate and to read, we begin this transformation from the inside out of who we are and how we are in the world. And in turn, because of that, we begin to see things differently. We begin to see life differently. We begin to see our own lives differently. And because we're seeing things differently, we start thinking differently. And because of those, then we start acting differently in the world. And because those things happen, because that spiritual practice changes the way that we see the world and changes the way that we act, it's really important to have spiritual companions on this path. It's really important to have spiritual community that sees things the way that you see them, that's looking through that same lens that you're looking for. Spiritual companionship and community to support you and to be able to talk with about that, to be able to share with, to be able to be lifted even more when the two of you come together, where two or more are gathered in my name, in my nature, there I shall be. The two coming together creates something that you wouldn't have just on your own. And so in one of the books from class, Carolyn Mace, Entering the Castle, she says, reading sacred literature and doing other sacred work can shift your values and make you feel very detached from your familiar word. In these states, you require the companionship of someone who understands the journey of your soul. You will always need to maintain a solitary, silent prayer life and time for reflection, but you will also need to reach out to at least one other person to share your experience of God. When we share with another person our experience of God, it helps us be more grounded in it. It helps us stay anchored in it. It helps us get clarity about how we're seeing things. And so it's important to have people to talk to. It's important to have people to support us as we awaken. And it's also important to have people to support us when we get stuck. Because you might have noticed, when things happen in your life and you feel stuck, things that don't go according to plan, most of those other people out there in the world will go, "Oh, poor you." And then we end up feeling like a victim, and we get stuck in victimhood and in a place of powerlessness and in a place where we think we don't have what it takes to move forward. But when you are with companions of this spiritual path, what they will do is hold you in that space of knowing that you have everything it takes to move through this thing. You have everything that you need to succeed and to flourish and to rise above this, because you have the infinite presence of God right where you are and right within you. They know that for you, so you don't get stuck in victimhood and feeling powerless. They might ask you questions also, not in a way of judgment, but in a way of love and support. How else might you see what's going on in your life? Or what else could this thing mean that's happening? I would say, how might this be for you instead of against you? Your spiritual companions will remind you that life is for you. Therefore, whatever's going on, somehow, some way, must also be for you in the big picture. They'll remind you of what you already know, but sometimes forget when life doesn't go according to plan. And then they'll support you while you discover it for yourself. In love and in kindness, seeing your wholeness and your power and your good, all while you're doing that discovering. And so then, my invitation to you this week is to take time for spiritual practice, to take time to be present with your soul, to take time to be in the silence, to read things that feel inspiring to you, that feel lifting to you, that stir something inside of you. It feels like this is right. Something in me knows this. To read the things that inspire you, that feed your soul, and that stoke that flame that's already burning inside of you. And meditate and savor. Can you think of a more awesome spiritual practice than savoring? And spend time with spiritual companions. And then you'll be living your spirituality. Then you'll be walking this spiritual path and giving way to your own soul, giving way to your own spirit, giving way to your own divinity, giving way to that one infinite presence of good in this world. You'll be living in alignment with your soul, and you'll be bringing heaven to earth here. And so blessings to each and every single one of you on this path of awakening and this path of remembering and this path of giving way to your own soul. Blessings to each one of you. You want to come pray with me? And so I invite you to join me in affirmative prayer, and Tina and I are going to tag team. And here, hold your hand. Oh, and so how good it is just to take this opportunity and this time to revel in this presence, to recognize that, yes, indeed, it is right where we are at this moment, in this room, in this place, and that it is with us every single moment throughout all of eternity. For it is the very essence of our soul. It is the very essence of our being. It is who and what we are. And that we are here giving way to that presence, giving way to the divine as love and as peace and as wholeness, as power, as good, as joy, as celebration, as oneness, as all of these qualities and characteristics of that one divine one. And so I know that today we walk in this presence and with this presence, and that presence walks within us, in us, and through us, and as us. And so I know that that one presence leads us on this path, that it goes before us and makes the way open and plain and smooth, that it fills our lives and flows into every single one of our relationships right now as harmony and as love and as well-being. It flows into our minds as words of inspiration, as creativity, as the perfect words to say in every single situation. It leads the way to perfect expression and to absolute abundance, for it is the life that we are living. And so it is unfolding itself to meet our every need right now. And so we just sink into this truth. We allow ourselves to marinate in this truth, in this knowingness. And I know that this is also true for every single person on this planet. That right now that presence is revealing itself as the exact thing that is needed everywhere, because it is all the activity of this one. And so it is with a grateful heart that I pass this prayer.
So grateful to hear these words, so grateful to receive them, knowing that they are of me. And knowing that they are of all of us, that they resonate within us because they are us. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for this moment of awakening, for these moments that seem to open up for us where we are so connected with our souls, individually and collectively. And I'm so grateful that we are invited to savor life within us, to savor life around us, and to savor it through us. So I know that our eyes are open this morning and our ears are open to hear. We can see, we can hear, we can touch, taste, feel, experience life within ourselves and within those around us, that we not only give of ourselves to those around us in our community and encourage them with what we know them to be, but that we receive the encouragement, that we receive what those around us see in us, mm-hmm. in our expression of ourselves, so that we can be reminded of who we are. So I'm so grateful for that, and I'm grateful for the opportunity and reminder to savor who I am mm-hmm. as I savor who you are. Mm-hmm. Releasing these words, I know this is happening, and so it is.
So it is. Awesome. Thank you.